And then we're going to get started. Father, be with us today. We thank you for this great day. Father, we thank you today as we look at our personalities along with our supernatural spiritual gifts. And Father, I pray that all of us would see ourselves either in this chair and also in this personality, that we could serve the church and serve others. Father, we do love you. We pray for a great day at Vacation Bible School as the 40-plus kids are over there learning about Jesus and the workers that are there. Father, help today as we have a great worship service and a great service today that we'll leave this place changed today. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to show you several things. We're going to go kind of fast today, but I know you guys are bright and can stay with me. We've established several things in the Scriptures, and we've established in 1 Peter 4:10 that all of our gifts, and also Romans, and in 1 Corinthians 12, our gifts are to be used to serve others, to help people. So we've come up with, I'm just going to give you a brief synopsis. We've come up with this table and chairs. The table represented the church, and the chairs represented different people. It represented the mature Christian. And remember what the mature Christian is? Mature Christian is committed to God. They say, not my will, but your will be done. The mature Christian is, there's two things that we talked about, building believers and seeking sinners, okay? The mature Christian is always building believers through the Word and always seeking other sinners that they can bring to the table for the meal. And so as we are mature Christians, we're telling others about Christ. Also mature Christians, I had this conversation. It's sort of part of where we've been in Haggai in the sermon. Mature Christians are givers. They're giving their tithe. They're not afraid to have faith in God. Mature Christians are not afraid of the supernatural things that happen from God. And that's that chair. And I pray that a lot of you are in that chair, and I pray that you're in that chair. Then our second chair was baby Christians, which was people that have recently come to Christ, people that have just recently understood what it really meant to serve God and to totally surrender their life to God. And now they're trying to learn, how in the world would I give 10% of what I've made to God? Because a baby Christian's looking at it going, I could use that money to do other things with, because my whole life I've done that. But a mature Christian by faith gives it to God, and then God blesses them. A baby Christian's like, man, I don't know. You know, I may not even know the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. How would I dare go up to somebody at a coffee shop and say, hey, do you know Jesus, you know, as your Savior, or whatever approach you use? And so a baby Christian is hanging around mature Christians and learning how to do these things and becoming more comfortable and bold with Christ. And then our third chair was the sinner's chair. And if the baby Christian and the mature Christian are inviting others to the meal, then the third chair, the sinner's chair, is always full too. I've explained that I believe that a healthy church is based on the economy of one-third mature believers, one-third baby Christians, and one-third sinners. And so that's where we want to be healthy in our church. And that's what we're striving to do. So then from there, we went to our spiritual gifts. Now, I know I covered them fast, and I've given you a list. And last 2 weeks, I've given you that list. If you don't have that, let me know, and we'll get that to you. But what I see happening is this. Let me kind of, everybody listen to this. We have this week, and next week we're going to teach you how to pray, pursue, and persuade people to come to Christ. Very evangelistic. And then after that, we're going to spend a lot of weeks, and I'm going to ask a lot of the teachers that are in here today, and especially that come through this, that have the gift of teaching, and the ones that are already here teaching, we're going to stay on spiritual gifts for a while at this church. I don't want you to leave, you know, by the end of this year, which is approaching fast, January, I want you to know your gift and be using it. So we're going to keep teaching spiritual gifts and what that means and what that looks like and how you can plug in. And you'll see in just a minute, I'm going to have you guys come up in groups in a little while, all these things that we now have that you can serve in. There's places right now that you say, Pastor, I'm gifted in this. You can serve. And you'll look real quick. The fivefold ministry in Ephesians 4 is discipleship, ministry, evangelism, fellowship, and worship. That's what makes the church healthy as well. When the chairs are moving, and they're moving into these things, we're a very healthy church. We're reaching people for Christ. And so this is what we're going to do today. Now, to take your list, I want you guys, everybody look at there and pick out a scripture that you want. I want people to participate in this with me today. Find a scripture that you want to read. I won't pick on you and say, hey, you read. I know that that's not healthy. But if you see a scripture on there that jumps out at you, I'm going to ask you to read that. And what I want to do today is this, and this will go fast, so stay with me. I want you to see who Jesus chose to be his disciples. Because see, I'm asking you as this church to be disciples for God and for the kingdom growth. So I want you to see what the disciples that Jesus actually set down, and he had everybody in the world to choose from. He chose these. And what I've done is tried to give you a picture and their strongest point of what they did in their life. So by the end of the day, I want you to stand up and go, you know what, I'm like Peter, or maybe I'm like Andrew, or maybe I'm like Nathaniel. I want you to have an identification with someone that's in the Bible that used their gift. And then when you go home and read and study the Word of God and your copy of God's Word, I want you to really focus on that person and see how they served God. Does that make sense? And then you're going to see how each one of these guys were in the fivefold ministry that Jesus chose. I'm praying that this will help you get excited about your gift. So, with that, let's take off today. And then at the end, in just a little bit, I've given you a little card. And that's your commitment to us. Next week, I'm going to give you a card from me and my staff that we're committed for you. I have five things that we will do for you as you do for us. And we're all together. This is Kingdom Building. But our staff will pray for you. Our staff will be there when you need us. Our staff and our church will serve you in every capacity possible to do whatever we can do for you. And all we ask back from you is that you sign a commitment card saying this is what we'll do for you as well. We'll get that laminated for you if you'll bring that back next week. And praise the Lord, it'll be an awesome time. So, everybody grab your copy of God's Word. If you don't have a copy of God's Word, let me know. And Harold Griffin is really good about getting those Bibles. I think we even have two or three in the foyer. If you don't have a copy or your own copy of God's Word, let me or Harold know. Harold, raise your hand. We'll get you one. Okay, you've got to have that because it's a good direction for your life. All right, real quick. If you read, I want you to kind of read loud, but I really want you to help me because my voice will not make it today if we don't. First off, we have Peter. Now, you got to remember, Peter was the guy, he was very outspoken. He wasn't perfect, I wrote, but he was passionate. Peter was very outspoken. He was the leader. He probably, and hear this, Peter probably failed more miserably than any of the other disciples, bar Judas Iscariot. Peter probably failed miserably more than any other disciple, bar Judas Iscariot. I really believe that. Peter would let his mouth get out in front of him. He'd get himself in trouble, but he'd always come back to Christ. So he also was used more in Scripture besides Paul, than anybody else. So quickly, somebody look up Luke 22 and read 31 through 32. Luke is in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John. And Luke gives us a picture of this. Anybody have it? Anybody want to read? Right here, front row. Go ahead, real loud. That's fine. Isn't that awesome? So Jesus says to Peter, Peter, I have prayed for you, but also the devil has asked for you. You know, that'd be kind of scary if the devil came up and said, hey, Trey, I want you, you know. Well, Peter was not perfect, but he was very passionate. What about you? You have a spiritual gift, let's say, of maybe exhortation. You want to worship God. How can you do that? Maybe if you're a Peter, maybe if you're very outspoken, say, man, I want to run the choir or whatever. Well, how can you do that in a way? How can you be very passionate, even though maybe you're not perfect? Well, Peter gives us a picture of that, but Jesus says to him, Peter, I have prayed for you. God has prayed for all of us in here today, too. The Bible tells us. That's a good, great look at Peter. You might want to also write down, well, let's just keep going. Let me just say a word to this, okay? Peter wasn't perfect, but he was passionate. And here's kind of the lingo I want you to have. Be committed not to judge your own perfection, but on your passion. Don't judge yourself on your own, how perfect you are, but on your passion. And I'm asking you, give it an effort. Give your gift and give your church and give the kingdom of God your best effort. Quickly, number two is Andrew. It's a great story. John is the first, if you go to the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John is what we call, it's not a synoptic gospel. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are very similar. John is not one of the synoptic gospels, and that's, I'm talking to the mature believer now that understands that. If you don't get what synoptic means, don't worry about it. It just means that John's, basically, look at the gospel is a lot different than Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John takes a different look. And so I love to read John because usually John is full of more stuff, if you will. Somebody read John 1, 40 through 42. Real loud. Anybody got it? That's right. Look what I wrote for your little note. Backbone. Andrew, and let me give you some background on him. Andrew says this: you cannot be afraid to call yourself a disciple. Have you ever gone somewhere and someone said, "Hey man, are you a Christian?" And you're like, "Well," and you don't know what to say. You're like, if I say yeah, they're going to think I'm weird or a Jesus freak or something. If I say no, maybe I can get into their group or their crowd. And so you just kind of go, well, I go to church sometimes. Andrew is not like that. Andrew's like, dude, check this out. I found Christ, and he's the Messiah. Let's go see him. He's very unafraid to share his gospel, very unafraid to evangelize. Do I have anybody that has through this the gift of evangelism in here? Trey, who else? Gift of evangelism. Just not afraid to tell people about Jesus. You know, anybody kind of, and this is okay. Do you get real nervous when people start talking about Jesus around you? That's okay if you are. I know nobody, you know, okay, it's all right. Start hanging around people if you want to. If you think you're like Andrew and you really want to share the gospel, you got a backbone and you want to share, you know, hang around people that aren't afraid to share. Take me to lunch and buy my lunch and I'll show you how to do it. Right, Trey? Praise the Lord. You know, I just want to share this real quick because as I study this week, I said, God, here I am, send me. I was able to lead 4 different people, total strangers this week, to Christ that I never knew before. And I just, God just does it. And I'm not great, I'm not anything, except I'm there. And I said, here I am, send me. I found 4 people that needed Jesus Christ this week. And all I did is walk up to them and start a conversation. And about 2 minutes into the conversation, if you were to die today, do you know where you would spend eternity, heaven or hell? And in all 4 cases, they all said, you know, we don't know. And then I just lovingly was able to unpack and say, you know, if you believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you surrender your... And I don't say it that fast. I know I'm talking fast now. But I love them and teach them and show them, and they pray. If you have the gift of evangelism and you have a backbone and you're not afraid to share, God's going to put you in front of a lot of people. It's an awesome gift and it's a lot of fun. Let me tell you a couple quick things real quick. Evil triumphs when good men do nothing. I heard that yesterday on the TV. They were talking about Fort Hood? And one of the broadcasters says, you know what? Evil triumphs when good men do nothing. Do you have a backbone today? Also write down Acts 2:47. I didn't write that down for you, but I wish you would. The Bible says in Acts 2:47 that the church was added to daily. Most Christians, now I know I'm talking to the choir, you guys don't think this, but most Christians think the only day they have to be good for God is on Sunday. The Bible says in Acts 2:47 that even Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday, people were getting saved. That's daily. Who are you telling about Jesus during the week? If you are, you're an Andrew. Quickly to the next one. Let's look at James. James was awesome. Acts 12, 1 and 2. Who's got it? Just turn right a little bit. Acts means the acts of the church as it grew. Who has that? Very perplexing when you read that. Why would they kill one and then not the other? But James, if you look on your outline, he was faithful. Only time James was ever alone in the scripture, too, by the way, that I can find as I've studied my scriptures. This is the only sense where I've ever seen James alone, but he was faithful. James was nothing spectacular. He was just faithful to the end. He said, you know what? If need be, I will die for God. And he did. Would you stand up and say, I would die for Christ? If you are, then you're a James. Then you're a James. If you're that passionate and faithful, the Lord needs us to be faithful. And that's an awesome thing. Number four, quickly, John. You all know John is all about love. We read 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. But I want to show you John 13, 23. Go ahead, somebody. I'd love to hear those pages. That sounds awesome. One of the disciples whom Jesus loved was reclining with him at the table. John is all about love. And how did he learn love? Well, write down 1 Corinthians 2, 10 through 13. He understood the difference between flesh, which is natural, and spirit, which is godly. He understood what it was to be a spiritual person. If you are a very loving person, it tells me that God has shown you the difference between flesh and love. I'll share this quickly. I volunteer at the hospital. And when I really get down and when I really get spiritually attacked, I put on as much what I have on now and I go to the hospital. And I walk in and act like I know what I'm doing there. And I have no business there. I'm not hired by them or anything. I just go. And so this week I got to the point where I was like, God, I'm just edgy. I'm mean. My kids and wife are mad at me. I'm going to the hospital. Because that's where I go and settle down. So I'm at the hospital just real quick. And I'm visiting all these people, and it was a rough day at the hospital. I mean, the doctors were like, thank you for being here. It was rough. I mean, all kinds of people in pain. And I'm getting ready to leave. They've been there about 3 or 4 hours, and this guy comes running in with his mom. He's about 20. And they're at the wrong end of the hospital. They needed the emergency room. I said, what's wrong with you? You look fine to me. They said, it's not us. It's my brother, the lady told me. She was about my age. I said, well, come on. I'll take you through, and we'll cut through because I know how to get around in there. So we went over to the emergency room. And the guy had got wheeled in on a gurney, and he was laying there like this, and he was just tore up. I'm like, car wreck? What happened to this guy? And the paramedic looked at me, and he goes like that. So I walk over, and he goes, they were on the golf course, and this guy hit the ball, and it hit near another group of guys that rolled into him. And so they looked down and saw the ball, and they turned back 300 yards back and went like that to him, like all of us might do. And the guy that hit the ball went, like, I can do that too, you know. And next thing you know, those guys said, oh, yeah. And so they got in their cart and went back and almost killed him, beat him to a pulp. They broke both his eye sockets. His nose was gone like this. His jaw was over here like this. I'm like, was it worth that? You know, I mean, it was crazy. And I got to thinking about that. You know, when we get mad, we either react by our flesh or by the spirit. What would you do if somebody hit a ball into you? Would you go beat them up? Or would you say, don't do that again, but I love you, man? You know what I mean? We have to draw that line. All of us have that line. Well, this poor guy ran into the guy that doesn't love you, man. This guy beat him up so bad. He'll be in the hospital a week. Yeah, he's in bad shape. Pray for him. I invited a whole family to church, too. They don't have a church. Again, here I am, God send me. I found a family that doesn't have a church, and boy, they need one now. They're like, what's this world come to? I said, Bill, if you'll come to the mill, we'll teach you what this world's like. And we'll teach you how to get through that spiritually. That was John. He's all about love. He understood that. Quickly, Philip. Who has John 6 and 7? Just turn left a little bit. Go ahead, Trey, real loud. Somebody read John 12, 20 through 22. Okay, Philip was basically like, these guys need this and they want to see Jesus. Hey, he was always going to someone else to get the advice. Read the next one, John 14, 7 through 8. Okay. I think that Philip was a pessimist and a doubter and a worrier. And many of us are there. See, I have people all the time tell me, Billy, you know, I would serve. I would tell people about Jesus. But I'm a pessimist. And I worry. And I doubt everything. I'm like, so? God can still use you. He chose Philip. Philip was just like that. And I think today the church is full of Philips. Not here as much. But the churches that I speak in and the association of the 27 churches that I'm in charge of their health, we have a lot of Phillips, and the Phillips are afraid to tell anybody. Or then if Jesus does show up, they're like, can we really do that? Can we really go feed 4,000? Can we really do that? We have a lot of Phillips, but I'm telling you, people, if you doubt and worry and are pessimists, it's really not okay, but God can use you. And hang around someone that has the gift of faith. Go find your best friend that's called James. And James will look at you if you're a Philip and say, what are you worried about? God's in control. Let's go. All right? A lot of Philips out there, but that's okay. I want you to be involved. He's always asking, what do you think? Always doubting his own faith. Always wondering, is God really here on my side? But God chose him and used him. Nathanael, this one's really cool. Go to John 1:45-51. Somebody real loud, go ahead. Nathanael was an awesome person, and there's several other scriptures that I wanted to show you. But my notes in my journal, he had eager faith. He was excited to worship. He was excited to be in the house of the Lord. Nathanael, just because Jesus said, hey, I saw you under a fig tree, he's like, done, you're the Lord, you're God, awesome, let's go, man, let's go praise the Lord, hallelujah. Nathanael, okay? Are you like that? Do you have to see God work over and over and over and over in your life? Or just because one time you heard a sermon and you know God touched your life, now you're on fire for God. And that's, praise the Lord for you, Nathanael. Nathanael just saw God one time working his life and he's like, praise the Lord, I give everything to God. He went from sinner to mature seat like that. He kind of skipped the baby part because he was so excited to worship God. So faithful. Are you excited about that? We need some Nathanaels, people. We need some Nathanaels today in this world. Look at Matthew. Matthew, the first gospel. Luke talks about this. And I thought it would be the most appropriate for what I'm trying to get my point across. A careless desire to evangelize. If you look real quick on Luke 5:29-32. Anybody have that? Matthew, which is also Levi, is the Greek for that. He was just careless in his desire to evangelize. He would go out and get the IRS people and the people that maybe we struggle with in our lives, whoever that may be. He would invite them to the table just so they could hear about Jesus. Most people today in churches try to run with people that look like them, act like them, you know, have the same view politically. You know, it's almost like at the door now of churches, you know, what are you? Political are you or whatever. Matthew didn't care. Matthew had a careless desire to tell anybody he could about Jesus. That's awesome. We need a lot of Matthews today that doesn't matter what you think or what you are. They, you know, whoever you are, come near me. Come jump on my trampoline, if you will. Jump next to me like when we were kids and we used to play on the trampoline. And maybe while we're jumping, we'll talk to each other and we'll rub off on each other. And you'll learn why I'm like I am and I'll see why you're like you are, and maybe I can tell you about Jesus. Matthew, are you like Matthew? Go to Thomas. What? Before you read that, what's everybody going to say about Thomas, unless you've already read it? The doubter? Okay. See, I totally disagree with that. Go to John 20, and that's what we've been taught, but you'll see why I disagree with that. I want to show you, I love Thomas. I'm going to read this one because I love this. I love Thomas. John 20, I'm going to read 20 through 27. Then I'm going to put my glasses on to do that. I want to show you what this says. I want you to get your pen out and get ready to underline. When he had said this, he showed them his hands. They're talking about Jesus here. He had showed them his hands and his side. Underline that. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Then Jesus said to them, again, peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. Underline that. And I want to stop there and tell you what I think. Thomas was so broken that when the disciples gathered together to talk about Jesus' death, he ran out to the wilderness, the Bible tells us in historical books. He ran out. He was so broken, he couldn't even look at anybody else right now. He's like, Jesus is dead, running, crying, could not stand to even look at anybody. He was so broken over the death of Jesus. He wasn't a doubter. He was broken. Why do I say that? Read it again. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and to place my finger into the mark of the nails, to place my hand into his side, I will never believe. Go up again to 20. Jesus showed them his hands. Jesus showed them his side. Then the disciples were glad. He's not doing anything different than he did with the other guys. Okay? 8 days later, verse 26, the disciples were inside again and Thomas was with them. The doors were locked. Jesus came in and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, hey, put your fingers here and see my hands and put your hand in the place of my side and do not disbelieve, but believe. And Thomas said, my Lord, my God. And Jesus said, you have believed because you have seen me, just like the other guys saw him. You ever seen that before? He just did the exact same thing he did with the other guy. Thomas was not a doubter. Thomas was broken deeply. He takes off because he was unable to bear what Jesus has gone through. What about you? A lot of the people I found out that are Thomases are the people that have the gift of mercy. They just cry out for people. Their heart cries for people. And they have a passion for people and Jesus. They just, oh, Jesus, you're so magnificent, awesome. And it just breaks them when people don't see Jesus in that order. Look at James. James the Less. I put these three together because they're basically, I think, the exact same. And there are only very, very few words about them in the Bible. James the Less, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, that I wrote, not Iscariot. There was Judas that was not Iscariot. And in John 6, look at that quickly. Who has that? 32. We see one of the brief sentences where these guys are brought up. Go ahead and read that. You got it, Trey? Go ahead, real loud.
Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the bread.
Okay. Read on your notes right there. It says, you know what is missing today in discipleship? Supporters. Also, if you keep going, 41 through 42, read that, Trey. Now read 48. It says, I am the bread of life. And then read 60 through 68. Go ahead. Yeah, you're doing good. Yep, it is. Keep going.
On hearing it, many of the disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? Aware that
okay? He feeds 5,000, and just a few days later, we're told that after he quit feeding them, even his own disciples quit following him. They're like, as long as you can give us something, we're with you, brother. And then he's like, but let me give you the words of life and eternal life. And they're like, nah, we're going to go somewhere else. Even his disciples, the Bible says, left him. Jesus said that these three stayed, though. And that's why I want you to see. We're going to go through hard things in your life, and your life is not always going to be Jesus giving, giving, giving. Sometimes there's going to be times where Jesus is in your life, and you've got a great life, but you can't run away from him. You've got to always support. Support. Are you a great supporter of the Word of God in your church? Great question. If you are, you're like James the Less, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, not Iscariot. Finally, last but maybe least, Judas Iscariot. There's several verses, and I just want to leave it like this. You guys know what he did. He betrayed Jesus. He came up to Jesus and said, Jesus actually looked at him and said, is this really it, Judas? Because Judas came up to kiss him, and when he kissed him, it meant for the Roman soldiers to come in and take him. He said to him, is this really it? Is this really it? Judas, is this what this comes down to? That's in Luke 22, verse 48. And as you look at that, we won't read it, but I want you to look at this. Judas was covering up the trash in his life. Judas was chosen by God to be a disciple, but he turned from Christ. And I pray that nobody in here ever turns from Christ like Judas did and cover up your trash. Many people come to church today because they have trash in their life, and hopefully you're here because you do have trash in your life. But hopefully you don't cover that up. You get it right and give it to God and let Him cover that. So, with that, I wanted you to relate to somebody in the Bible. Let's all get into our groups that we've either established or started to get into. Because I want you to talk in your group who you relate to the most. And then one at a time, I would like for groups to come up here. And I want you just to look at these boards and start praying through this and saying, there's so much to do here at this church. Where is my heart crying out for me to serve the kingdom of God through this church? What has God shown me through my giftedness? Which, I've told you, we're going to continue to learn about our giftedness. But what has God shown me? What can I do? Now, you know, we're not a church of works. You're not based on salvation on what you do. But I do teach that your salvation, and because of your salvation, you will do. Amen? Because you are saved, you're going to want to serve God. So let's all stand up, stretch. I've been talking a lot. Get into a little group, about 10 of you if you can. A lot of you have already established groups. Make it exciting. Look at this list. Share with each other who you relate to on this list. Will you do that?